Hi, I'm Nicola.
And I'm Jay Percy.
And welcome to the Afro-Animist podcast.
We are two animists and spiritual practitioners exploring the secular through the spiritual, discussing life experiences through a sacred lens.
Each week we share our experiences and dive deep into everything in life, from philosophy, metaphysics, Abia, occultism, shamanism, culture, healing, nature, animism,
the arts, pop culture, conspiracies, psychedelics and witchcraft. Nothing is off the table in these discussions, which aim to get to the heart of what it means to be spiritual and Afro-diasporic in an increasingly sterile and authoritarian world.
We keep it real whilst exploring the biggest mysteries of our multiverse. Join us holding this space to laugh, cry, debate, build community and tear down oppressive structures.
Welcome, 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 beautiful, beautiful being of the multiverse to the Afro-Animist podcast. You are here with me today, love.
And me, Nikki.
And yeah.
What are we talking about? I was just going to say some words. I don't know why.
It's why you're here. It's why we're here. We're going to do a bit of a continuation on last week's episode, which was girl bossing, because the entire topic of feminism can't be fit into one or even two episodes of podcasting. Honestly, there is a whole wealth of knowledge on this. There are whole university, PhDs, master's courses on this. So anything we are saying here are opinions that we have come to through our framework, or it is simply us recounting what we've read or heard from other people's opinions. And it is quite a nuanced topic. Some of it you may immediately agree with, some of it you may need to sit and listen to a little bit to hear the nuance in what we are saying. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the things that we do believe and stand upon as our foundation between the two of us is our body, our choice.
Yes.
Believe and trust women.
Believe and trust women.
And you know, it's your life, man. It's your life.
it's your life. Like, literally live it how you want. 100%. Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, there's no slut shaming here. There's no even trad wife shaming here. There is no shaming in any... Your face went really black there. There is no,
unless you want to be shamed. If that's your thing, we'll do it.
If that's your kink, we don't kink shame. There is essentially no shaming here in how you are expressing yourself in this human experience. We are all souls belonging to Source that have come down into these meat cages and are deciding how we're expressing how we live it through these meat cages. I think so much of the time we put too much emphasis on the fact that we are the whole meat cage when that's just a part
you are,
of the...
You are not the meat cage. You animate the meat cage.
It's a part of it. We've come down onto Earth, mm-hmm. and we are women and we identify as women. So this is our kind of thoughts and learnings around that specific experience.
Exactly. And that's it. And I think to really lead with that, this is experience as well. So, like, obviously, we're going to hear a lot from Love today because she's super educated and eloquent on this subject. But, you know, just being women, like, we have an expertise. So, but also it is just that, like, I really love the way that you said, just listen, because actually sometimes things can sound triggering that actually, if you genuinely listen to them, they're not. So open minds, we're not passing judgment, and we would appreciate if you're here listening that you don't pass judgment either, but you also engage with us in the conversation.
So we're women assigned female at birth who ascribe to the fact that we are women.
Yeah.
We feel like women, so this is going to be our opinion.
Exactly.
That experience.
I also don't want to have to overly explain that every time we say women and stuff like that. Like, let's just be there with it.
Okay. So we spoke a little bit on the last episode about Gloria Steinem and this idea of how much infiltration has been done in the feminist movement. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. We're going to also be talking a little bit about the Kybalion and those principles of gender and what that means in spirituality there. And I guess just as one final precursor to this episode, we really want you to just draw a distinction between the sentiments and the movements of people and their belief and ideology and the actions of corporations, of the ruling overclass. I also want to draw one final distinction here. There is going to be a difference in what I'm talking about in terms of the sentiments and the movements of the ideology of the people, the vox populi, the voice of the people, and the movements, I don't even want to say sentiments, the movements of the elite ruling class. I don't even want to call them elite. I feel like this is like word spells that we put into our daily lives by calling them the elite. They're not elite, they are just the ruling class, people in positions of power who have the money to fund the specific movements they want. Because what can be true about these things is the sentiments of the people mm-hmm. are entirely pure, and they're entirely for the betterment of human growth, mm-hmm. society. However, sometimes we have these movements that come in that are funded by the ruling class, and they have their own goals, their own aims and initiatives, and will piggyback on these sentiments and turn these movements into something that was completely different than it was originally expected to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I say all of this because I want to talk to you a bit about Margaret Sanger mm-hmm. and birth control. Have you been on birth control in your life at any point?
Well, love, I have. sorry.
No, perfect response. We've had this conversation.
We might plan this, yeah. It's just funny because when you were saying that this earlier, JJ. Oh, sorry, the doggy's here. That's how I feel about birth control, babes. So I was on birth control. I went on birth control at 18, like the pill, the combined pill,
mm-hmm.
at 18, and I came off of it when I was about 23, 24. Now, I went on birth control. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my mum thinks I went on birth control, right, just because of my period. And I did go on birth control because of my period, right? Because I was having, we've started explaining about this, I was having like two periods a month, like so much pain, whatever. But I wasn't pushed to go on the pill for just because of that. Really, it was because I got a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So at 18, I got that.
Yeah.
What started happening is my period started to change, like, so it got a bit better with it, and then it got a lot worse. And by the time I was 23, I was just like suffering so bad. And so I went back to the doctor and said, you know, I've been doing the research, I want to come off of the pill and I want to go on the diaphragm, can you get me a diaphragm? I'm just gonna call them out, Camberwell Sexual Health Clinic.
Oh god,
right?
Yeah.
So like I go there and they're like, no, you can't have a diaphragm. I'm like, why can't I have a diaphragm? They're like, well, just statistically, like, we don't like people like you coming off of the pill at your age without another form of hormonal contraception, because you will get pregnant. And
pause.
I literally...
Pause. Can you repeat that slower?
We don't like people... This is the doctor... The I don't even fucking know.
The dog whistle.
We don't like people like you coming off of hormonal contraception at your age and not going on to another form of it, because we basically don't trust you to not get pregnant. They told me I was a statistic and I was going to get pregnant. And I was sitting there, just a person going, I want to not put this stuff in my body. I want to have autonomy over my body. And hey ho, I've done the fucking research.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want. It wasn't just coming there going like, oh, can you just figure this out for me? I want to do something different. I'd done the research.
I'm going to be very specific about this line of questioning. What do you think they meant by people like you?
Black and brown people from Southeast London, descendants of the Windrush generation.
Right, so that's dog whistle racism.
Is it?
It is. And the reason I asked this specifically is because there has been a history of the white-led feminist movement,
mm-hmm.
having, and remember this idea between the sentiment of people, I'm a young woman, I'm not in a position to have a baby and I should have mm-hmm. the autonomy over my body. Fabulous. Agree with
mm-hmm.
the movement. You are a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want a baby from you
from
and
you.
Your kind.
Exactly.
That's the difference. So I asked this specifically.
Oh my God, I'm angry.
And you know what? So you should be. And I asked this really specifically, and going back to this Margaret Sanger, do you know who she was?
No, I don't. You need to educate me on all. I'm ready.
So, Margaret Sanger is the creator of what the American Planned Parenthood, which is what it's known as today. And that's important in the UK because largely America being a superpower and having quite an over, I would say some politicians or in schools of thought call it soft power in terms of their cultural power.
Okay.
I would say it's quite a fucking overt power.
I mean,
they've spread their culture and their culture has integrated across the world.
Yes.
Obviously, Camberwell Sexual Health Clinic, circa 2000s, whatever. Clearly,
yeah, don't shout me out.
No. I just say random in the 2000s.
In the noughties.
In the noughties. Yeah. It was I'm gonna impart tell you the story that you're told within, I guess, the more liberal storytelling of it, and then I'm going to insert some of these you know, there are the truths behind this that are perhaps aren't as airy fairy because they support this idea of women's control, the sentiment, not the movement, right? Mm-hmm. So her mother had 22 babies in her lifetime between the ages of 20 and I guess 42.
Wow.
Basically her dad wouldn't keep off her mom.
Yeah.
Understandably, she's coming from a place then of women should have control over their own bodies and be able to plan when they have babies.
Yeah. And not live their whole life if they don't want to, just pop them
right
out. Yeah.
So at her mother's funeral, after having last baby and dying, said to her father, "You did this to my mother. You killed her."
Wow.
So obviously with this trauma and this hurt, she's then gone forward, and I don't know much about her contacts or links, but she somehow managed to found a philanthropist. So I have no idea how she's had access to this, but she managed to find a philanthropist to fund the research of the first pill.
Okay.
The first pill. And this has then started in the... she started the first birth control clinic, sorry, looking at my notes here, 1916. Very early. So we think of the birth control movement really coming in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
But actually, as early, the first pill was 1916. So the story of this is told as of her being this kind of... We see this archetype quite a lot, don't we? The white hero, the white knight, coming to save everyone.
White saviors.
I'm here to save women from the perils of giving birth to the point of exhaustion and death.
Wow.
Right. there may be, you know, I can't speak to her now, we can't interview her. There may be some of that sentiment in that. Mm. However, what happens next is a bit more insidious.
So, I'm so sorry, can I just say this? That whining is my doggy wanting attention. But we're going to keep going, so just deal with it. This is my life. Go ahead.
Yeah. JJ, come for some rubs, and I can talk into your face.
Come
yeah?
here, JJ.
Come here. Yeah?
Sweet pie. Do you remember what you're talking about?
I absolutely do. So it gets a lot more insidious because as she's going through numerous interviews, everything starts to get a bit more seedy and a bit more eugenicsy. So here's a quote from her directly. "I personally believe in the sterilization of the feeble-minded, the insane, and the syphilitic." Margaret Sanger, Birth Control and Racial Betterment, February
1919. Hang on, let me just bring that up again. JJ, be quiet, my love. All right, but I personally believe in sterilization, the feeble-minded, insane, and the syphilitic. I mean, maybe the syphilitic, it's okay. they just shouldn't be having sex with anybody. Sorry, guys, you come here for it. I can't help it. Sorry.
No,
it's terrible.
So
it's fucking terrible.
In the first instance, she's advocating for this, getting rid of pregnancies where there perhaps might be a problem, you know, a physical ailment with the baby itself, and that becomes quite eugenicsy. And what becomes also very quite eugenicsy is the fact that she then says, you know, she thinks everyone who has a baby should have to have an IQ test. Now,
what?
Right, so
let me get back on the camera.
So some of you may be thinking, oh yeah, I kind of agree with that. I know some idiots with kids and they should never have kids. But
no comment.
The IQ test itself is designed around a white paradigm. And it's not what's the intelligence quotient? Is that what IQ stands for?
Yes.
But it's not an emotional quotient. Mm. And more we're seeing in sort of psychotherapeutic, neurological contexts that actually it's the emotional intelligence of the parent which can have the bigger effect on how the children grow up to be either good members of society that get on non-violently or whether they get on violently.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
So her saying it should be IQ tested. If we lived in the universe where she did these IQ tests and then you could have a baby, it really starts to create a whole new different timeline. And once again, the IQ test was based on white ideals. It didn't necessarily take into account, different. And it's not, don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that if you're a person of colour, you have a different level of intelligence. I'm saying that specific test may be like asking a fish to climb a tree.
Well, this is it, because an IQ test full stop, like, I always find them really interesting because you have to know certain things that I don't actually feel like necessarily really show your level of just natural intelligence.
No.
They show how much you've learned within the culture that you're in.
Right, and that is the white dominant hegemonic culture.
So if she'd have managed to get her way, then basically we would have bred out any kind of empathy.
Yeah, basically.
In the population.
And, her work was so influential to the Third Reich and Hitler he actually said she's one of the great socialists of our time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Hitler had to say about her. So she was being, like, applauded by Hitler. So let's do another quote, because we're now getting into this whole idea. She didn't think the people who had intelligence that measures up to her expectations should have children, and perhaps people who have disabilities should just be aborted. We then get into race.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which takes us back to this Camberwell thing, because I think this is directly fucking linked.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. So the rest of the quote is in here, but it means the release and cultivation of the better racial elements in our society, the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual destruction of defective stocks, those human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization. So her whole thing, this pill, it wasn't just necessarily about helping mums to have fewer babies. It was directly linked to the fact that she thought that black people shouldn't be reproducing. Because what was happening in the American South at the time is they were, of course, having lots of babies, and I think it got to a point where they sort of infiltrated some of these churches and had them sort of like, no, you have to talk to your people and get them to do this, so this is the right way. And then you had this issue with African Americans being overrepresented in abortion rates. So one out of three of them were having abortions, but they only represent 13% of the population.
Fucking hell.
Mm-hmm. So there's a misrepresentation. And then there goes on to the fact that when you look at maps of where these birth control centers are, they are specifically putting them into black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Or neighborhoods where they have a lot more ethnic people. It's not necessarily going to be in your equivalent of like Welland Garden City, whatever it is. It's going to be in your equivalent of Peckham. The reason I come back to this, and none of this is conspiracy, by the way, and none of this is going to say again that people shouldn't have access to abortion. Once again, we're talking about the sentiment of the people and the conspiracy of the ruling class. Two things are true here. You should absolutely be able to have your own autonomy to your body, and that includes choosing when you should become parent. A parent. Does that mean that their sentiments are pure? No.
Yeah, I think we've discovered that is a hell no. They're not pure.
And this can be a really difficult and, once again, a nuanced conversation to have, because when you start to go into this territory, you can get compared to these kind of like Candace Owen figures and ultra conservative. No, I think it's so much more grey than that.
100%.
And you know, all my life, I guess, as virtue of being someone who straddles two worlds anyway, being British and Afro-Caribbean, I've always had this perspective that, you know, perhaps things aren't as literally black and white as they seem. Maybe they literally exist in that grey beige area. And I think this is one of these things. We absolutely shouldn't have governments getting involved with giving you or controlling your access to what you want to do with your body. But at the same time, we should absolutely be having discussions about the integrity and the intentions of these places like Planned Parenthood, 100%. Which are largely putting themselves in major ethnic areas. And it's the same in London as well. You're having these clinics put in these areas where they don't want us ethnics necessarily giving birth.
Do you think
at a young
if
age?
I went to Kensington and Chelsea sexual health clinic, they're going to be going, well, maybe to me, they'd be like, no, send her back to South London, don't let her touch anything. But yeah, no, but it is that. And it's like, it's a really messed up thing, actually, that we have to, I think, sometimes we over explain the nuance of the conversation we're trying to have, because, like I was trying to say to you earlier, it's like this idea for me is just so interesting, because we have, as much as you guys are going to hate me saying, we have a colonial mindset, in the sense of like we're brought up in this culture, in this country. Every piece of information that I take in is from a patriarchal, colonialist, white culture, right? So I have to re-educate myself through it, and even through these things, like when I'm, you know, 23 and I'm sitting in Campbell Sexual Health and they're basically going, hey, black girl, we don't trust you to like be able
to strap it up,
to read a fucking instruction, like, instead of going, how fucking dare you. I mean, I did a little bit, but I said it very politely, because, you know, you can't be an angry black person.
That one, yeah.
No. But it is this interesting thing of like going, yeah, this is what I want and I need, and then actually having to, sitting there and really considering that from like all perspectives. Like I do this a lot, where I look out into the world and I kind of go, like, I'm understanding less and less and less, like, what it is I'm supposed to want and how I'm supposed to want it, because I'm starting to see that, like, you're talking about, there are things that I feel like I need, and there are things that I'm being told that I should be and that I need, and some of them are the same and some of them are vastly different. And yeah, it's just, that's why we're having the conversation, really, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And I think it's important to understand how some of these movements, which are founded in the purity of the people, are so corrupted. And the reason that's important is because it corrupts our lives. 100%. It corrupts our lives. The fact that you have, do you know there are sort of big conversations going on around at the moment of like child services taking children from poor families because they can't afford like a bed that's on a proper stand, but then these rich women will put their Montessori beds on the floor. So but because you've got that,
but could you afford to buy them a bed? If you can afford to buy them a bed, then you can make your own choices.
But then it's just it feels really sort of like an offshoot of what they did in these like residential schools in the Native Americans and in Aboriginals in Australia, where they would take Indigenous children off of parents to rehome them with white people in order to re-educate them in the white way. It feels that level of insidious, do you know?
I mean, it is. And I think that, you know, maybe we see it, we don't see it in the same way now, because that isn't happening as overtly like that. Like, they're not just taking your child away, sterilizing the kid and whatever, but like the way that education happens for the working class in general, you know, in this country, I don't know the statistics, actually, the reality now of like what level of race is working class here, but you know, in general, that's what you're going to get, a lot of ethnic people in the work class. Yeah, it's just
Going back to this idea of the infiltration of the pure ideals of feminism for, I guess, capitalistic tax man gain. And last week I spoke a bit about Gloria Steinem, and I did get her name right, so I'm very happy. Do you know when I was like, I got her name right? Yes, I'm so happy with that. It could be hard to remember a lot of information when you're someone who just like reads everything, right? So Gloria Steinem was like a big feminist in the 60s and 70s. And I guess she's relatively about as an older woman now, and occasionally does like interviews and whatnot.
Okay.
But she was the head of Ms. Magazine, which Ms. a feminist magazine. Not Ms. Oh, I loved Ms.
I was gonna say, shut the fuck up.
Not Ms. I loved Ms. You get your favorite NSYNC lyrics and some lip gloss on the front.
Oh, the irony that they're both called it pretty much the same thing.
No, this is Ms. MS. Okay. Dom. And on one of the front covers of this quite big feminist magazine back at the time, she put this author called Michelle Wallace, who was a relatively young woman in her early 20s, and wrote this book called Black Macho and the Myth of the Superwoman. And she really went to promoting this book. Now, the problem with this book wasn't necessarily that this Michelle had come up with her own thesis, her own formula, and decided to write it down. You know, you as much as anyone can respect that someone, I wrote a thing, like, good for you, we'll critique it as it is. But it's the fact that this book was then pushed as Gloria Steinem, as like, she is the leader of black feminists, this Michelle Wallace, and this is the black feminist book.
Okay, yeah.
But the problem with this book is it's throughout it's supposed to be quite disparaging towards black men, and is sort of saying we don't need the black man in the home anymore, like women doing it for themselves.
As of what she's promoting, that black women should just be...
Black women independence, like entirely.
Okay.
But it's not this idea of chosen independence, standing on your own two feet. It is just this idea of like we're literally going to break apart the family in order to be by ourselves, and almost like this hyper independence trauma response. So this is where it gets quite tricky, because we spoke about last week, there's no virtue in staying in a relationship for you or the kids if you're at each other's throats, or if there's an abuse in a relationship.
100%, yeah.
You just shouldn't do that. We've got so much neuroscience and study now to just show, like, this is how it fucks up your kid when you just stay together for the kids.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't great.
Yeah.
But the fact that Gloria Steinem had pushed this book and really marketed this book to essentially break apart the family is thought to, in terms of conspiracy theories, be a part of her work in the CIA to break up the black family. So then what you have as a result of that is single mothered homes being overrepresented in the black community.
Yeah.
And then making it easier for the cocaine import agency, the CIA, to then put crack into neighborhoods and arrest these men at disproportionate rates, push through legislation through bodies like, I think it's called ALEC, the American Legislative Executive Council.
Okay.
So what they do is they write laws specifically for corporations, and corporations like, yeah, this will make me profits, tick it off.
Okay.
And then they put it into their Congress and then agree it that way. So it's essentially, you have a corporatocracy with corporations through this body called ALEC choosing their laws. And the people aren't choosing their laws. It's getting movements and sentiments of people very different. You've got then corporations choosing this. So this whole thing is wrapped up in this idea that by getting the black woman away from the black man and splitting up the black home, we can completely destroy this idea of their family. We can then over-arrest the men. We can then put in laws in place that allow us to over-arrest the men, because we can just put in arbitrary laws to put them into prison. And then that funds us more money, because prisons make money. You can buy stocks for prisons in throughout the globe.
Of course you can, yeah.
And it once again, it goes into this idea of feminism being infiltrated, and this in the black community, using the black community as pawns.
So is this like, is this a, this is fact, right? Or is this a theory, is this a, what you're saying is
the
a conspiracy theory?
No, the Alec is fact.
The Alec is fact. And then this is stuff the CIA.
The fact that Gloria Steinem has pushed this book in that magazine, yeah, that was fact.
That's fact.
Yeah. The fact that CIA were specifically trying to split up the black family, that is the discussion.
Oh, that's the discussion. Yeah. I thought I'd seen a documentary about that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Do you know
what? It's just this whole thing about them, you know, even with them. What do they put into the, obviously crack, but also crack. Like a, they tested like some fucking
syphilis
on. Yeah. Like,
they gave them syphilis.
So that. I thought all that stuff was like now known fact.
That is now known fact, yeah.
It's just clear. It's just like there's no, you know, the fact that you're saying there's a discussion around it, I'm like, why is it still a discussion? Because it is clearly like just what they did. It's mad.
We are up for you here, researching and make your own minds up. A lot of what I've told you is fact. It's in fact curriculum that's been taught.
Yeah.
So me during my education. Yeah. During.
And she went uni. She's smart, guys.
Okay. I have an accent that makes me sound smarter than
that
I
is,
actually
that is true.
But I say all of this to say, like, man, feminism has given us some really good things that we've wanted for ourselves. The right to be able to vote, the right to be able to, if we want to, work. The right, if we want to be able to control our own reproduction. But it has done it in some of the shittiest ways.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to this idea of the pill and having problems with the pill,
mm.
Like just the very fact that it was chosen to give women the pill is baffling to me. You can get pregnant, what, once a year? Men can get a million women pregnant.
100%.
At the same time.
This is a problem.
You can sleep with your wife and then go to your next door neighbor and then get... You can have two babies born in the same segment of time.
Exactly.
And I haven't had a good time with birth control at all.
Mm.
I know you haven't. You know, I was constantly being gaslit by doctors. And... I went onto some forums and it was just, it's hundreds of thousands of women being gaslit by doctors.
Hundreds of thousands, yeah, hundreds of thousands.
Saying this is messing up my hormones, mm. This is making me lash out at my husband unnecessarily, this is making me gain a load of weight unnecessarily, this is causing me sciatica, this is causing me headaches and vertigo. Oh no, it's just all in your head.
And so it's because there's not the level of care or research into women reproductive or sexual health as there is into male. And it is an ironic thing that you're saying, because actually it is a potential, it's a much easier thing to actually stop a man from being...
Well, yeah, but so this is one of my problems with feminists. As someone who would like loosely regard themselves as a feminist, mostly a womanist, but yeah, mm. I would regard myself as a feminist, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to critique. This is not a cult. I am not up for cults. No. I will be in something and I will critique it and point it out. We've had first wave feminism voting, second wave feminism sort of being able to have working rights, third wave feminism, reproduction rights,
yeah.
Fourth wave feminism, we're talking about intersectionality. Where is the feminism that is directly going for the jugular, the sciences? It's not really been until the 90s that they really started testing on, I think it's about 91, they started testing on women equally to men in tests. Before it was just like, oh yeah, we'll just test really? Certain drugs on men and that will represent the whole... Yeah, there was a whole thing around they're not going to test certain drugs on women because they have their cycles. It's too hard to measure It's too hard to measure it, so we're not going to do it. But we're going to give you the drug.
I'm done. Podcast is over. Like, I'm done. There's no point in discussing this anymore. The world is mad. Like,
I really think if feminism, its biggest need right now is to be focusing on the sciences. Mm. Even when it came to these COVID vaccinations, and you had articles and women going, oh, my periods have stopped, my periods have stopped. Do you know how much gaslighting I'm seeing online of going, oh, well, just get over it, you're doing it for the greater good.
It was so mad.
It's like, do you know your fertility, your cycle is the fifth vital sign? Like, if that is fucking up because of a medicine they haven't considered in line with your infradian cycle, then how are you then being told you're a bad person for not getting a vaccine because you're just concerned about your womb? Do you see what I'm saying here?
Again, let's put it in another context, people. Like, say if, like, the vaccine meant that, you know, your arm could fall off. I think then, like, people would have a different conversation
because
about
it. Because
it could have happened to men too. And it's something obvious in your face, you know, whereas all this stuff, and this is the thing that bothers me, all these things, all these concepts, all these things, it's like they are kind of almost treated, especially with women's health and stuff, like, they're discussions, like, over there rather than things that are, like, important to do now. But anything like that is going to mess you up on a deeper level. Like, we're now understanding like how this is all, my brain will not work, my mind will not function in the right way.
When you had it, how was your periods?
When I was on the pill?
No, when you had the COVID vax.
But, I went, they were incredibly painful. I think they actually stepped up a notch. I missed a period, which never happens.
Yeah.
But then I was really sick, so I did get both of the jabs for personal reasons, and I'm not, you know, willing to be argued with about that.
Beginning principle, your body, your choice.
My body, my choice. You know, but at the end of the day, it did feel like it wasn't really a choice, if I'm honest. And I haven't felt 100% since I had that almost 2 years ago. Like, I immediately got sick. I immediately got COVID. So I had the second COVID jab, and I got COVID. I hadn't had it. Throughout both all the fucking lockdowns, all of that kind of stuff, like, hadn't had it, got COVID, got really sick. I started getting swollen lymph nodes in my breast and my armpit.
That really concerned me.
Yeah, I was fucking concerned about it because it was going on for ages and I couldn't get a fucking doctor's appointment. Yeah. Absolutely mad, you know. And then I have, in the past couple of years, like, obviously I have this issue where I do have an extreme pain and with my periods, and that has always happened, but my body, I feel like, has normalized itself a lot, and when I've done that, it has just shaken it, and now they feel very different than they used to feel.
Okay.
Like, there is definitely something in it. And honestly, like, and I'm not talking about, like, chatting to anti-vaxxers. Like, I know a lot of people in the world who have had to, for work reasons, all that kind of stuff, get the jab. And the majority of those people turn around and say if they felt like they had a choice and they could have not got it, then they would have. Sorry, we're not talking about that right now.
We're not talking about this, but the reason I ask you about this is just because the amount of what I would call medical gaslighting came from non-medical friggin' people online on social media. And that is our new pressure group at the moment, social media, because that's how we interact on a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
And going back to this idea of feminism and science still being completely, like,
separate.
Pharma has become our new god.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't allowed to question God because what God says goes.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not really allowed to question pharma because it's science and it's backed. But it's not just science, it's business. So it's very specifically designed to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And making money off of you is only going to be a business if you're in a position where you're constantly unwell.
100%.
Because if you're well and healthy, they don't make money. It becomes an irrelevant god. And I'm not really gonna be fully comfortable. And for ages, I was so comfortable saying I'm a feminist. I'm not going to feel fully comfortable calling myself a feminist until feminism as a movement starts questioning the intentions and the integrity of Big Pharma. I'm not. And that's...
I really respect that. Like, I really respect that. It is, because it's people making little individual choices like that I think will begin to make that difference.
Well, I hope someone hears this, whether you're a man or a woman or not. If you're a man, understand that, you know... We need each other to continue life.
I thought you were just going to stop there. If you're a man, understand.
No. End of. we need each other to continue the human experience. Mm-hmm. So it's not just women's job to be shouting for their rights. It's also your job to be saying that until women are free, none of us are free.
100%.
So, yeah, I'm not saying take up space in these conversations, but... if you can amplify those, if you can allow those voices to be amplified, then make that your aim.
Mm.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Kybalion. We'll probably keep this really short. We'll have another few minutes. We want to keep this episode a bit shorter today. But the Kybalion itself, one of the seven hermetic principles. So, we're going to be doing some series on the Kybalion.
We're going to be doing a whole work through on this, so be ready.
Be ready. But the Kybalion is this idea of hermetic principles. So from this guy called Hermes Trismegistus way back when, and it's sometimes thought to be a he, it's sometimes thought to be a collection of various he's throughout the year. Whatever it is, there are these seven basic rules of the entire multiverse.
Look, it's literally just right there over your head. Look.
The Kybalion. Hermetic philosophy. And the seven rules of this, if I can just go to the freaking. Right. So. There is gender in everything. There is rhythm in everything. There is vibration in everything. There is polarity in everything. There's causation in everything. And the all exists in everything. Is that it?
Yeah, open to the... Okay, we said this was going to be short, but now we've got a book out.
Yeah, yeah. I did know this off by heart.
We did know it off by heart. So, yeah. Do these ones.
Okay, so there's the principle of mentalism. Everything is mind. So the universe is mental, so we're thought to be in the mind of the universe.
Yeah, not like it's mental, like it's mental, bruv. It is a bit mental, bruv, but like it's all within.
It's all within. We're all within the mind of the universe. So we think of ourselves as very material, but actually we're a part of this mind lattice.
Yes.
The principle of correspondence, you may be familiar with this saying, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that happens on this plane is kind of happening in a cosmic plane and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything that happens in your personal life is a reflection of what's happening on the earthly plane at a bigger scale.
Yeah. Wow, I need to sort my life out then, because fucking hell.
What's going on in the moment? All
it's
of these.
It's just crazy. The world is crazy. Is it my fault?
I don't know. It might be our fault, because Guyana and Venezuela are threatening to do a war, and then China are sending warships to the Middle East.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
As within, so without. Be peaceful within.
The bunker is ready, guys. I've got the tin food, some dry pasta.
No, that's not the vibration, which goes on to the next one. The principle of vibration. Nothing rests, everything moves, everything vibrates. You're probably wondering why we're talking about this in a feminist episode, but we'll get around to it. If you've ever worked with psychedelics, you will know that everything vibrates, and it's not hallucination.
And also you understand that the universe is mental if you've worked with those as well. Yeah,
you really will. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not. None of this is hallucination when you're working with plant medicines, by the way. I hate that word.
Yeah.
I probably explained in another episode. Do some listening, you'll find out where I've had one on a rant about that. Principle of polarity. Everything is dual, everything has poles, everything has a pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature but different in degree. Extremes meet. All truths are half truths, and all paradoxes may be reconciled.
I love that.
Yeah, I
just
do
love
too.
That so much. All paradoxes may be reconciled.
The principle of rhythm, everything flows in and out, everything has its tides, everything rises and falls, the pendulum swing manifests in everything, the measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. So when we see these movements of far right movements, and then we see these heavy swings of far left movements, eventually it comes back around. When we see markets make tons of money, and then everyone's really poor, and then everyone makes tons of money, and it's all a part of the law of the universe.
I almost feel like this is one of the most important ones to understand as like a modern human, like just the balance, like and the swing of that, and also just like, have you heard the thing of like I sometimes sit in this, even though I'm a bit anti some things, but like to be anti something is to support it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's
you
that.
Hear that a lot in manifestation. Yeah. Like it's the war on drugs, the war on terror. Well, if you're doing the war on things, you're just making more of these things.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas actually sometimes to create a change or to fix something, you need to be like
not I'm anti-war, no, I'm pro-peace.
Yes. Pro-peace, exactly. It's very different.
Pro-peace,
and that also then explains how this can make sense. Like this constant balance of the universe will always try to rebalance itself. Yeah. If it's swung too far to one side, it will go to the other and then it will meet in the middle. I feel like that is what is happening in the world on a massive scale right now.
Oh, sure.
Like since lockdown.
As within, so without.
Oh, yeah.
The principle of cause and effect. Sorry, I would let you talk more on this, but we want to do a whole series on this, and I want to get to the part that actually relates to feminism, which seems to be at the end.
I'm stopping talking now. Just go.
Every cause has the principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes law.
Chance is but a name for law not recognized.
And we get to number 7. This is the one. It's so funny. It's at the end. This is the one that is relating to feminism, I guess. We will make it so. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Gender manifests on all planes. Mm. Now, we're talking about gender, not sex. Sex is the physical manifestation. Gender is the spiritual concept. And gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Mm. So within the both of us, we have our masculine and our feminine principles.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the masculine relates to the material and the logical. A lot of the feminine relates to the spiritual and the intuitive and the inner, the unseen. And the reason we talk about the Kybalion in terms of feminism is that it's important to recognize that if we're going through all of these principles, there is some kind of innate balance that needs to be found.
Mm.
And, you know, feminism has been this bridge that has sought to find that, because we are in a society that has been largely patriarchal. We're in the age of Pisces at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, going into the age of Aquarius.
Apparently, I mean, there's a whole conversation.
There's a whole conversation of that, yeah. But there was, maybe you haven't thought about this, there was a time where we went through the age of Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the age of Cancer was a focus on matriarchal families, matriarchal values. It was when we first developed our agriculture and the home. And that was the era where we first, as a civilization, decided to build those things.
Yeah.
So Cancer is normally thought of in astrology as a mother sign. And
it was a while ago, that age.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. Several thousand years ago.
Several thousand years ago. But then we look at feminism coming up in this very patriarchal age at the moment. We can absolutely see, when relating it back to the Kybalion, why it needed to form itself, because the pendulum had swung too far in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all intents and purposes, feminism has been spiritually necessary.
Yeah.
But guys, you need to take it into your hands and what that means in your communities, instead of letting it be farmed out to the likes of these insidious agencies and Bill Gates Foundation funded nonsense that essentially seeks to kill off our communities, instead of finding ways to make community support so strong and so prevalent that you don't have to have the immediate worries about having a child. Maybe you do want to have one, but your worries are financial, your worries are community based, your worries are mental health based. We have whole societies that are supporting those things, then you don't need to worry about that, and then choice truly becomes a choice. I do want to have a child, I don't want to have a child. Because it's not a choice if you're saying, I want to have a child, but capitalism. That's not a choice.
No, 100%. And like, yeah, let's not get into it. I don't know. I've got so many feelings about this right now.
Yeah.
Like, so many feelings about it. Because it's just like, there's so much actually that isn't fair.
No. Coercion isn't consent. Coercion is never, ever consent. It never will be. It never has been.
Mm.
And when we live in a capitalist structure that takes away your consent through the coercion of making you poverty stricken and in poor mental health because there are corresponding rates to poverty and mental ill health.
I mean, of course.
Don't have your stability. You're not going to be all there.
100%.
Take a look into your feminism. Take a look into your thoughts about feminism. Please don't just buy into the narrative of feminism that you've been given. Really research it. Really understand it from all angles. And I promise you, you will get to a place where it is more community-centric and it is less capitalist-centric.
Yeah.
So going back to our last episode, this girl boss nonsense, it's purely for capitalism. It doesn't care about you or your mental health.
100%, yeah.
Or your community, it doesn't.
Yeah. Wow.
Might drop.
Might fucking drop, boy. Isn't she wonderful?
Okay. Listen, we are not promising to fit all of the knowledge of this into two episodes. There is so much more, which is why we always encourage you to not treat us like gurus. Just treat us like soundboards or mirrors to reflect your own curiosity, because that's all we do. Stay curious.
Or your crazy mates who live on the internet.
Yeah, I like that. We're like your... Okay, so I heard this thing. This is my closing thought, right?
Okay.
The other day I learned that in the 19th century, like, if you were really rich, you could pay for, like, a garden hermit.
So oh my...
You'd pay for a literal person...
This is my dream job.
...to live in a shed in the back of your garden to give you, like, advice or bring them out for parties to be, like, a little... weird, like, Dumbledore in the garden.
I'm basically that for Jack.
you're a gardener. I don't know where I was going with that point. Where was I going with that point?
How fun would it be if we could do that?
I don't know.
No, is that not where it was? If you know where she was going with it.
If you know where I was going, let me know.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the Afro Animist podcast. I've been Love.
And I'm Nikki. And as always, a pleasure to be here with you. And I don't know what I'm going to say.
No.
See you next week, guys.
Thank you, beautiful being of the multiverse, for joining us on the Afro Animist podcast.
If you want to get stuck into the conversation or have a question about anything we speak about here, join our mailing list and find us on our socials.
On TikTok and Instagram, find us at the Afro Animist podcast.
On Twitter, you can find us at Afro Animist. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, you can also find this talk on YouTube. Just search for us and we will pop up as if by magic.
If you're loving what we're talking about here, share, like, and subscribe. And remember to leave us a thumbs up or 5-star rating on your favourite platform.